Let me read Revelation chapter 21, verse 5. Revelation, the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 5. Actually, let me start from verse 3 and read up to verse 5. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Hallelujah. Neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. Amen. And he said, he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Praise ye the Lord.
Amen.
Praise ye the Lord.
Amen.
When I read that verse just now, it made me smile. Because that was the last verse in this my write-up. I was expected to round up with this verse, and somehow I said, read this verse. That is, I'm going from the beginning to the end, but I'm starting from the end, and I'm going to go back to the beginning, and now I'm going to go back to the end at the end of it. This Bible verse, it says, there shall be no more death. What death was he talking about? Physical death. We all know that. Amen. There shall be no more pain. And he says something, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. See, the reason why I smiled when I saw that, just yesterday we were with a family and we prayed, we talked, we shouted, we talked about things of the spirit, and there was some shedding of tears. Some shedding of tears from the family. And I just remember that he said there shall be no more tears. So that's a comforting. That God saw, he said he saw your sorrows, he saw your tears. And he said in the end, on this planet, there shall be no more tears. So we should rejoice in the fact that God said, behold, I make all things new. So whatever you are going through today, or what you have gone through in the past, if you can bring it back to the Lord, he said there will be a day coming in the future, in our future on this planet, when there shall be no more sorrows and there shall be no more tears. And God said, we wipe away all tears from their eyes. And he said, write these things, these words are true and faithful. That means it will come to pass. Amen. It shall happen on this planet earth. Amen. You say, well, I was talking to a young man one time. It was actually the son of one of this grandma that always come over here, Mrs. Onishili. And because he was not believing, I said, do you have any question? I tried to witness to this young man. This young man has been in the military and has gone to Iraq and came back. And somehow he lost focus on the gospel. So I asked him, do you have any question why you are not believing? And then he opened up, he said, he just looked at life and saw all these troubles in the world. And he said, how can there be a God allowing all these things to happen? And I started to explain from the scriptures. But you see, God is promising that someday on this planet earth, there shall be no more sorrows. There shall be no more tears. That is, we go back to the end of the book of Revelation. And he said, write these things, they are true and faithful. It shall happen, because God will not fail. Amen.
Amen.
If you believe that with me, say amen.
Amen.
You believe God will not fail, say amen.
Amen.
Praise ye the Lord. Now, what I want to talk about today is the full redemption. The full redemption that Christ brought for mankind. Maybe you've assume that we have already been redeemed, but he has only given us the earnest of our inheritance. The deposit is what we have so far. That's what they call earnest, down payment. If you are trying to buy a house, the realtors that know about this, if you try to buy a house and you tell, oh, I like this house, you get your realtor to go with you and you look at the place and you say, okay, make the contract, I want to buy the house. You know what they ask you to bring? As they are making the contract, the realtor wants to get something from you, like $1,000. Earnest deposit, they call it. That is what the Bible say we've got right now. That you wanted to buy this house, here is my deposit, I'm interested in buying the house. Tell the seller that here is our contract, and that means don't take offer from anybody else when you make that earnest deposit. Because if I'm trying to sell my house and you come say I want to buy the house and I take off the market, and then somehow you change your mind, you just deceived me. Not so, because now I have to put it back in the market. That's wasting my time. So that's why they say you want to put some money down, $1,000, $500, mostly they want $1,000, something big like that. Oh, I want to buy for $200,000, but they say bring the earnest deposit before the realtors get the contract and send it to the seller. Because once they are set and they are now negotiating, they want to say, well, I've got somebody who's interested. So the same way God has saved us, we that have come to Christ, but he has to give us what he called earnest deposit, that he actually is going to take us to that heavenly home we are talking about. But here is a deposit to say I'm serious here. What is this deposit? The Holy Spirit that he gave it to you. He gave us that Holy Spirit to be indwelling us as part of the deposit. So when you have the Holy Spirit in you, it's an evidence, it's bearing witness to you that you are redeemed. So remember that. But what is the full redemption? If all we have is just earnest deposit, we are going to talk about the full redemption. Praise the Lord. Now, what was the fall of man? Let me start from there. Many of us have a vague idea of it, but let's bring it from the scriptures in a quick summary. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. I will read verse 1. So that we quickly know what we lost as human race. Why God has to redeem us. What does redeeming mean? What does redeeming, what does that really mean? Now remember, in the days of the slave trade, we were Africans. Many people, we were told that this ship will come from Europe, and sometimes they started stealing men from Africa. When it started, it was the chiefs, the kings, that were selling their slaves. The chiefs and the kings, they sold some of the people that are prisoners of wars. I don't know what's going on there. These prisoners of wars, you know, the tribes go and attack the other city, this city attack the other city and take them prisoners. Very soon they started seeing this lucrative to sell them as slaves, so they started selling them. Now when they saw that that was very profiting, you know what they started doing? They now started stealing people to sell them. Some people may be in the farm and they just come and ransack them and grab them and take them away. Now, if somebody's child was taken away and to become slave, and people now started looking for their children, they found them in the slave market. The slave master will say, oh, it's your son. Oh, take it away. No, they won't let him. They will let him go free. But you can buy him back. So that is what redeeming means. Well, it's your son, but you see, you don't know how he got lost. He was arrested on the street. He was kidnapped. He was captured or prisoner of war. Then you can buy him back. That was what God did for mankind. When we say redeemed, we were redeemed. God created us, he put us over here, he gave this place to mankind. Adam, the first man, lost it. Think of it, he just lost it. So we all became slaves to the devil, who got the deed, what you call the deed of the land. So the devil got the deed, but God decided to redeem us, to get us back from the devil and give us this planet back So that is what the full redemption really means. But what did we lose? Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. I will quickly give you verse 1, verse 14, and a little bit here of what happened. You perhaps know the story vaguely. The Bible said, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, when he came through the weaker vessel and deceived them, and in deceiving them, the summary of it was he made them disobey. Whatever God said, disobedience is a sin, and the soul that sinned shall die. So God already told them, if you do this thing that I say you should not do, he said the same day that you do that thing, that same day you will die. And they deal with the Lord. And some people say, well, you know, God didn't, they didn't die that day. They died that day. The day with the Lord is 1,000 years. None of them went up to 1,000 years. None of them, except the Lord took Enoch away. So that was what God meant. The day they disobeyed him, they will die. And they died the day. 1,000 years. We do not know how long Adam was living before Eve was created. But whatever was recorded, he lived for 940 something years. And then Adam died. Because the day he did that was the day he died. That's 1,000 years. He never crossed the 1,000 year mark. So, the line of Adam, since then, have been inheriting that punishment. Because in verse 16, let's read verse 14 and 16, see the punishment that was put upon them. God was simply pronouncing what is meant that would happen. In verse 14, he said, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this thing. For young people that perhaps you do not know the whole story, you may go and read Genesis chapter 3. They sinned, and then the serpent was the one that made them sin. So the Lord came and said, what have thou done? The Adam said, it was the woman that gave it to me. What have you done, woman? The woman said, it was the serpent that beguiled me. Well, God was not going to ask the serpent, serpent, what have you done? No. So God said, oh serpent, because you have done this, verse 14, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Verse 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now that verse 15, he was promising the seed of the woman will come and destroy the serpent. Now the serpent, you can go back to the book of Revelation. I'm not going to go through all of those revelations. What does it mean? No, I'm not talking about it. I'm talking on generally what is the full redemption. So know what we lost, so God is going to restore it back. But one of the things we lost is this fact that we don't have immortality. Human beings became mortal men from that sin. What is mortal men? That is why people die physically. Mortal men. But God didn't plan that in the first place for mankind. That's why I meant the first batch of people, they live for 900 years. You say, oh, really? That's so long. Yeah. 900 and something years. Then God began to cut it short. 120, 500. Now it's now 70, 80. If somebody live up to 120 years, it's like a record, Guinness Book of Record now. Not so. Praise the Lord. But that was what happened. God promised that he will redeem mankind. From that verse 15, he said, I will put enmity between thy seed and the serpent. The serpent is representing Satan himself. The Satan himself went through an animal to deceive mankind, because he has to talk to this woman physically. And the Lord said, I will put enmity between thy seed and her seed. Why? God said her seed. He didn't say the seed of Adam. Why? Because God was already prophesying. It was a prophecy. This book is a book of prophecy. God was already prophesying that the seed of the woman is not going to come through Adam. It's going to come by a virgin born. He was already prophesying about the Messiah that will come to finish this job, to redeem mankind. So keep that in your mind, that God was talking in this story, in this chapter, about the Christ that shall come at the end to bruise the head of the serpent. Now the serpent is actually the devil. You see that in the book of Revelation, it says that old serpent called the devil. And in verse 16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now he says sorrow. You can see God put, there is sorrow. And in the chapter we have, I first read, Bible verse I first read, he said there shall be no more sorrow. So you can see, oh, now that's one of the things God said he will restore. There shall be no more sorrow, no more, he will wipe away all tears. So you can see why he says started from here, and then come back and tell him here. One of the things is there shall be no more sorrow. Then he said there shall be no more death. Didn't we read that in Revelation chapter 21? Yes or no? Answer me. Yes, the verse 20, Revelation chapter 21, verse 5 to 7, that we first read said, behold, I make all things new. And he said there shall be no more death, no more sorrow. So how did that sorrow and death came into being in the first place? That's how we were reading it in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. He mentioned sorrow to the woman there. And to the man in verse 17, you see where he mentioned the death. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow, now he mentioned sorrow again, shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field, in the sweat of thy face, that's another laboring and sorrow, shall thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shall thou return. That is the death, the physical death. So when God said there will be no more death, he was promising us these things being done away with. There shall be no more sorrow, that will be done away with. And he said, behold, I make all things new. Praise the Lord. So now, when I say full redemption, you can see where there is still sorrow right now on this planet, isn't it? That's why that young man said, oh, look, I went to Afghanistan, I saw people being killed, families being destroyed. And he said, how is God allowing these things? Because these things came into the world through the sin of mankind. And God has promised in the end he will take it away. But he has given us the deposit for those that come to him. Individually now, we come to Jesus. And he gave us the Holy Spirit as a harness of our inheritance. That hey, I'm interested in redeeming these people. Here is the deposit. So you must have that harness of your inheritance in you. Then you follow him. And as you follow him, he promised this is going to happen at the end. When he said, behold, I make all things new. Amen? Amen. Can you rejoice at that? Are you one of those that have this hope? You may say, oh, Brad Julius, I'm going through trouble right now. You are telling me of the by and by, you know, the coming by and by. This by and by people have been talking about, it looks like it's going to be 6,000 years to come. It may not be so anymore. Our parents have been looking for it since Adam, 6,000 years. But God promised actually 6,000 years. And we are at the end of 6,000 years. So you should begin to say, this thing is no more by and by. As people talk, I was talking to an old man. Actually, I talked to my daddy when he was alive. It's like a testimony. And he was telling me something, because he was not a believer. In those days, he was just a Muslim. And he wanted to go to that Mecca. And I was trying to tell him that there's nothing there. So in one of those discussions, I was telling him that, and actually he was the one that said, "You, if you enjoy this world, you better, he was saying that there was nobody knew about the other side. That was what his summary of what he was saying. Nobody knew about the other side. I said, well, we knew about the other side. The Bible told us about the other side. Christ has already said it. There is going to be new Jerusalem, there's going to be all of these promises. Now the question now is, how are you sure you're going to get there? I said, well, that is the difference between my faith and what that more Islam is telling you guys. They are telling you to try your best. The Christ is saying, if you believe in me, you have passed from death unto life.
Amen.
So now the next question is, well, maybe you can't enjoy this world and go enjoy the other side. I say, well, we can even enjoy this world and also enjoy the other side. What you call enjoying this world, perhaps, is what in the mind of unbelievers is sin. But that's not the enjoying of this world. Because if you are thinking, well, enjoying this world means sin, party, that is not enjoying this world. You enjoy this world when you can walk with angels, when you can talk to God, and God is talking to you. I say, that is real enjoyment. When you begin to be visited by angels, I say, I'm enjoying the world already. Think of that. Don't think of, oh, you don't enjoy, you don't drink alcohol, you don't drink beer, oh, you're not enjoying. Oh, well, those are not enjoying the world. The life of Christ itself is enjoyment. And that's what we are trying to show to people. That what they call enjoying this world is not the enjoying. These are things that are going to give you headache. But the enjoyment is when you can talk to God and God talk back to you. When you can be visited with angels. Say we are people that are enjoying the power of the world to come. You can begin to enjoy the power of the world to come. That is what God is asking you to come and participate in. A life in Christ is a new life. You will be enjoying this world because you have a fellowship of saints. You have fellowship with angels. And you have your answers met. You say you even meet your need. So what more do you want when he says, you can gain the old one and lose your soul. That's not going to be good. But then when you enjoy this world with the fellowship with God, walking with God, then you have a hope of eternal life again, which is a better hope. So you can be certain you can enjoy this world in the peace of Christ that he promised. Let me remind you another testimony. When I was in Nigeria, and a young man, I was also a young man there, but I was a little bit ahead of this young man I'm talking about. I was just graduate from college. And we talked to this young man, he was high school graduate or something. He thought, well, you can't take this Jesus and enjoy life. Then one day, we picked him up, these are we believers, we picked him up in our car, turned the gospel music, and the car was, you know, there was dim light in our car, and he was sitting in the back, and he thought about it, he said, this is really enjoyment. The music was so cool, the gospel music. And this young man, I said, he wanted to enjoy, I said, well, what you thought was enjoyment was not enjoyment. You thought by enjoyment you have to be womanizing, you have to be drinking alcohol. I said, that is not enjoyment. When he saw a different lifestyle of these people that follow Christ, the music that was coming from our player, talking about the Lord, that was calming to the soul. This man said, well, this is another enjoyment. I like that. I said, well, you are invited to come and fellowship with us. Amen. Like Apostle John said, you are invited to come and fellowship with us. He said, our fellowship is who? It's with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father. Amen. And with the angels. So it's a different lifestyle, and you are invited to come and fellowship with us. When you know this Jesus, there's a life in itself. A niche group, we call it, in the household of God. Praise the Lord. Now, I said, Adam lost this glory. We call it glory. He lost mortality, so he has to die physically. He lost the peace of mind. There was sorrow enough. He said, in the sweat of your face, you will be eating bread. To the woman, he said, you will labor. The pain that people have during pregnancy is part of what he meant by labor. So all of those things were part of what God said, the punishment upon this planet Earth. And then the devil took over the lease of the Earth. Think of it, if you are the owner of a house, and you lease it out to somebody, or we call it rent. Okay, you lease it out, here is the key, don't call me, you are in charge. You don't go and knock on the door anymore and say, many people do that, but you don't need to do that. He is in charge of the house. Suppose while he is take holding your lease, the house you rented to him, some hooligans ransacked the place, arrested him, and put him on as hostage, and they are now messing up your house. They are not paying their rent. The man is not paying any rent, but they took over. What can you do as the owner of the house? It's your house, but you listen to this man. The man is still there, but somebody else is controlling the place. And that is what the dilemma we have on this planet Earth. Satan is now controlling the place, but he now holds the lease. But he has to pay the rent. He's not paying any rent. So you can go after the man that his name is on the lease. And that's the only thing God can do. You can go after that man. You can't go after Satan. But he has to go after the man. If I have a property that I lease out, I can take that man to court. I want him evicted. Why? He has not paid rent. But I can't take whoever he said, well, I try to pay the rent, somebody, that's all his business. That's his problem. I want the, so that is the situation. But God has given it to man. Man is still there. Whatever is happening between man, in fact, God is not taking rent from man. He didn't promise that, oh, bring some rent to me. He just gave it to us. But now the devil has taken it over. What can God do for us? The Lord promised he will come and redeem us and give it back to us. But it has to be done legally. Say legally. It has to be done legally. So everything that you have seen in the world, why God can't just intervene, because God has to follow his own word also. The Lord of the universe that he has ordained that angels will be, God also put himself under that law. So most of the time, when we ask the Lord to do something, say, I've already done what I'm going to do. Now use your faith, use your authority, confess the word of God and resist the devil, and the Lord is on our side. Remember that the Lord is on our side. Why? Because we are the one that you hold the lease. Now we are now trying to wrestle with the devil who has stolen the lease from us. So that is in a different sermon by itself. Praise the Lord. Well, now that in short is, you see in Genesis chapter 1 verse 27 that God gave to man the lease of the planet Earth. Genesis chapter 1 verse 27 and 29, when he say, subdue the earth and have dominion. That is the lease agreement. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So God has given man the lease. So we should have dominion over Satan, which is a beast, not so, the serpent. But the devil took over the lease, and we have trouble. Now, let me go quickly. I'm now going to jump to how God did it. He had to come legally, like I said, he had to come legally to take it over. So he chose a man, Abraham. God chose a man, Abraham, promised that through Abraham, I have to come and take over. So if God come down and say, I'm also a human being. Because now we are human beings fighting the devil. The devil is our enemy, not God is it's enemy to God, but see, the devil is the enemy that took it over from Adam. So God has to come to save us. He has to be a human being also, our champion. That was why he promised to come as the seed of the woman. But he has to come not through Adam, that he already sinned. Sin has already taken hold of all the generation of Adam. So God came and brought himself as a human being through a seed of the woman that he has not been polluted. And he promised that through that Genesis chapter 3 account that I just told you guys. But he has to come through a line. So he shows Abraham. And he promised Abraham that through you, the whole world will be blessed. In short, the whole world will be saved. That was the plan of God. You see that in Genesis chapter 12. And God made a promise with him. God made a covenant with him. And the covenant with Abraham was, actually, God himself just make that covenant. You see, when you make a covenant in the olden days, they will kill a goat. They cut a goat, not a goat, it could be an ox. They cut the ox into two and split it between one half on this side, one half on the other side, with the blood spread over it. And the two people that are making covenant have to walk through that blood. What does that mean? It means I will fulfill my part, you fulfill your part. If I don't fulfill my part, may my life be cut like this animal. That was covenant that we make. But see, when God made covenant with Abraham, you see that in Genesis chapter 15. God made a covenant with Abraham, this same covenant I'm talking about, that he will fulfill his promise for Abraham, not just the land of Canaan. We are thinking, oh, he promised he's going to give them this land of Canaan. But God was making a covenant, the whole earth is what God is giving to human race back. And it's the promise that he has to come through a line as a human. So he made a covenant with Abraham. He said, Abraham, get me this and that. Cut them into two. Separate them with the blood in between. He didn't tell Abraham to walk through it. Let's read that story. God himself walked through it, which means it's his own covenant. His own covenant with man. He said, well, we have to do our own part. You see, our own part is minuscule. Because Abraham cannot even, yes, God still says Abraham has to be tested, because this is legal. This is legal cases, heavenly legal things. Let's read it in Genesis chapter 15, verse 17, and see this covenant that God made with Abraham. But actually he's making it with the seed of Abraham. That's why Paul was saying, we that are coming through Christ, we are that seed of Abraham. That God is making this covenant with, that he will give this planet back to us. He promised it and he will fulfill it. In Genesis chapter 15, I will read just verse 17 here. You can read the whole chapter yourself. We are God told Abraham that I will do this. Abraham said, how am I going to be sure? He said, okay, get me this animal, get me this pigeon, and so on. Cut them into two. And Abraham cut them into two and separated them, so the blood was in between. And Abraham just waited and waited and waited until Abraham fell asleep in verse 12. And when the sun was going down, verse 12, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And then he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. And he gave that promise, telling him the future of his seed, that is the Jews, the Hebrews. Verse 17 is where I'm going. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. That was the Lord God saying, I'm going to walk through this covenant. This is the bloody sacrifice. You have cut all this into two. The blood is smeared there. We should both walk through it to make a covenant between me and you. Say, no, I'm going to walk through it. I'm promising. You don't need to do anything. So it was the promise of God to redeem mankind, and he made that promise with Abraham. Praise the Lord. So you can rest assured that, well, what is our part in it? Just believe. Amen. So Abraham believed. That's all. Believe. He said, just come unto Jesus and believe. That's why Christ said, if you don't believe that I am he said, you shall die in your sin. All we need to do is to believe. He made the promise. He swore by himself. He said, let's make a covenant. And he went through. He didn't even say, you must go through it. Because if I go through it and you don't go through it, means that you're not ready to fulfill your part. But he said, I will go through it. He's swearing by himself. Praise the Lord. So remember that God made that promise. And he has said it in Revelation chapter 21. I make all things new. He will fulfill it. Praise the Lord. Now, that was the promise. And when Christ came to complete this, to fulfill this promise, we know all the stories of the birth of Christ being from a virgin. And after that is done, let's go to all the promises that Christ began to tell us. Before I go there, let me go to the promise of Genesis chapter 22. God had to prove Abraham also. The Bible says God proved Abraham, because this is legality. Satan can say, well, you make the promise, these people can't fulfill anything. These people, you cannot make them do anything. That was all God, the devil, that's the only thing the devil can do, is to accuse us. The Bible says he's the accuser of the brethren. He did it to Job. Say, you are the one that make Job not to say, you think he loves you, he does not love you. You think he's going to obey, he does not, because you are blessing him. You take those blessings away, you will see how he will curse you. God said, those people, I know them that are my own. So we know he tried Job and he couldn't make Job fall. The same way with the promise to Abraham, God has to prove this. Will Abraham actually do his own part? So God said in Genesis chapter 22, Abraham, take thy son, thy only son, and go and sacrifice him, burnt offering for me, in the place where I will show you. Genesis chapter 22 verse 1. And Abraham went, whether he has a struggle with himself, we don't know, but he went. And he got there to even make it stronger. So sometimes you can be going to do something, somebody reminded you of the what is going on. To see, you have to confess what you continue to believe. In Genesis chapter 22 verse 7, Isaac his son asked him, Father, here is the light, the candle, the fire, and the... Where is the lamb for the sacrifice? That alone is able to shake anybody. But Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb. Amen? That's verse 7 and 8. Well, you can read it two different ways. That sentence, you can read it two ways. God will provide himself the lamb. That means God himself will be the lamb. Amen? You can also say, God will give us a lamb when we get there. But you see, you can read both ways. God will provide himself the lamb. And he went and fulfilled some part. There's a proverb in Yoruba that said, if you lift up your hand to slap somebody, what did the Bible say? What did Yoruba say? You have already slapped him, even though you left your hand down. The Yoruba say, and the tobacco balls, okay, but it's batty. So, if you lift up your hand to slap somebody and you change your mind, you already slapped him. So Abraham has literally the knife to kill his son. And God says, so, he's already killed his son. Amen. So God said, I accepted that. So he already done it. Praise the Lord. But God said, it is not your son, it is my son, God's own son, that can redeem mankind. So that was more like, you have done your part. If I ask you to present your son, you bring your son, I bring my son. There was a story in the Bible when there was famine. There was famine in Samaria, and the king of Israel, they were praying and crying unto God, and then two women came forward and said, me and this woman, when we have no more food, we promise that we eat your son today and we eat my son tomorrow. And they agreed. So they killed. He said, they keep my own son, we hit it today. And I said, bring your own son. He went and hit his son. Or she went and hit her son. And the king said, what? What is going on here? So think of that. God said, well, I can bring my son. Can you bring your son for this covenant? Okay, let's prove it. Abraham, bring your son. Let's sacrifice your son. Abraham said, okay. Abraham has done it. So God said, well, then that's your universe can see it. Abraham has sacrificed his son. Now I have to sacrifice my son. Amen? So God sent his only begotten son to the world to redeem mankind. Praise the Lord. So you can see that these things were not just something he thought. Suddenly he changes. No, it is the Lamb of God was slain from the foundation of the world. Praise the Lord. So the Lord was telling us that is what his plan to redeem mankind, he has already revealed it in the book of Moses. For everything we are reading is written by Moses. Praise the Lord. Now, after the Lord came, let's go to Matthew chapter 8 to see how he has promised us the redemption. I'm going to summarize with the, what is this full redemption that I mentioned when I started. We are to be redeemed. Bring us back to that Eden of God where Adam lost something. Adam lost immortality so that human beings have been dying. Adam lost peace of mind so that there is sorrow, there is trouble on the earth. But the cause of all these things is what? Sin. Sin is a reproach to any people, the Bible says. So the Lord has to deal with sin first, or put sin from mankind. Because if sin is dealt with, the rest will follow. Amen? Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 53. Let's read Isaiah chapter 53 first and see what he has promised for us. I read verse 4. Christ came to redeem us. First, he has to redeem us from sin. And then sicknesses and death will automatically be taken care of. Because those are all the rudiments of sin, or what you call the repercussion of sin. Verse 4 of Isaiah chapter 53. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, that's our sins. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Think of that, the sin of the whole world laid upon him. Why? Because he has to remove the sin from mankind. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before our shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And he went on and on telling us how the Messiah came to be sacrificed for mankind. Praise the Lord. And like I said, that death we sin, this blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse our sins away. But it has to be by you believing it. Like I said, you just have to believe and then partake of this sacrifice. And the sin nature has to be dealt with so that we will become a new creature. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Put that on the line on the screen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So Christ is redeeming us, taking us back to a new creature, our spirit being redeemed. So when your spirit is redeemed, now your soul and your physical body will be the last part to be redeemed. And Apostle Paul was mentioning that in his word, that we are waiting for the redemption of our body, our physical body. Romans chapter 8, verse 19. Let's read that. Romans chapter 8, verse 19. The full redemption is to include sin, sicknesses, sorrow, poverty, death, physical death. But he has only given us the hardness of that deposit so that we are sure he will bring the rest. And you say, well, you can begin to enjoy all these things before the end. Bible says we are people that are enjoying the power of the world to come. But the full totality of it will be given when Christ shall come. It will be over. And there will be no more death. Like he said in the book of Revelation, there shall be no more sorrow. That means on this planet there shall be no more sorrow. Right now you can overcome sicknesses by you just living for God and having divine health. But that doesn't mean that your next door neighbor is enjoying the same thing. You see, you may enjoy good wealth and health, but that doesn't mean that man down the street is enjoying it. He may even go to church too. You may enjoy immortality right now. You can begin to claim those promises. Like Enoch disappeared, like Elijah disappeared. But that doesn't mean the next prophet enjoyed that. You see what I'm saying? But what he was saying in Revelation chapter 21 is that, behold, I make all things new. Very soon, on this planet, it shall be no more death, there shall be no more disease, there shall be no more sickness, because he's going to make all things new. If you want to be a partaker of that, you have to go by the first step, be born again. Amen? You must be redeemed. And the redemption starts by being born again, your spirit being renewed as a new creature in Christ. Then you begin to exercise your faith to partake of the blessings that he has given to us right now while we are still here. Healing of our body, then believing in that immortality that he promised, that if Christ said it in Revelation chapter, let's read that before I wrap it up. The Lord Jesus Christ began to tell us about what he can do for us, even while we are still here. Even though he's given us just the earnest of our inheritance, John chapter 8, verse 51, as he was debating with the Jews of his time, telling them who he was or who he is, And they were not believing. The Jews that were around him were not believing. They were questioning him. In John chapter 8, verse 61, Christ said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." So from the summary of what I've been saying so far, I said, he has come to redeem us. Now he started with deal with sin for those who believe, those who come to him. Now he deal with sin, and then we begin to exercise our faith so that we can even begin to enjoy the power of the world to come. Sicknesses can begin to be dealt with. Even we can get to the point where this immortality, which is what Enoch got, which is what Elijah the prophet got, we can begin to partake of that even from now, if we can appropriate it. But at the end, all these things will be over. There will be no more. All human beings that will be on this planet will be given that immortality. And don't think, well, it's in 2,000 years to come. I'm talking of when you step out of this planet, you already started enjoying yours, of course. But he's talking of bringing them back. Even those who died, you bring them back physically to this planet. And they will have a new body that will live forever. And he said it is the same Jesus that's going to keep us alive. Whether they are resurrected or whether they are to live and never die, it is Jesus in us. Amen? So he was telling the Jews on that day that, hey, what I'm telling you, if you don't believe that I am he, say you will die in your sins. Say, who are you? In short, he was telling them, he is the sacrifice, he is the redeemer to redeem mankind, and you have to believe that. Like I said, God promised this thing. He made a covenant with Abraham, but he alone walked through the covenant blood. He alone. And so he has made that promise, and he sent his son to die. He said, Abraham, you don't need to kill your son. Your son, you already killed him. But it's a covenant between me and you. I have to bring my son now. So he brought his own son to sacrifice for mankind. And that is Christ saying, if you don't believe I am he, you don't believe that I am that sacrifice, if you don't believe that I am the redeemer, if you don't believe that I am that savior, that's what he was saying. I am the light of the world. He said, if you don't believe it, then you will die in your sin. But if you believe, all you need to do is believe. Abraham, you don't need to walk through that bloody sacrifice. God has walked through it. All you need to do is believe. So when God promised Abraham and said, you have a son, the Bible says Abraham believed. Even though he was too old to have a child in the human terms. But because he believed, it was counted as righteousness. So in short, all we need to do is believe and then come to Jesus. Then it starts this change in us. The change from glory unto glory, starting with a new heart, a new spirit. And then he said, if you will believe, I can even keep you alive without seeing physical death. And he's talking about physical death in that verse, because people thought, oh, he meant spiritual. No, it's not spiritual. He's talking about physical death. If you keep my saying, you shall never see death. So the full redemption is deliver from sin, save from sicknesses, poverty and shame and sorrows being removed from you as you begin to appropriate the faith that he has given to us. And death being canceled, because the Bible said Christ has abolished death and he has brought life and immortality to light. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. That's where I'm going to wrap it up. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. Apostle Paul, alluding to what we just said, that we are preaching this Christ. Everything that we are talking about is now being made manifest. Verse 10. He says, but it's now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light. That's what he says. Well, if you can believe, if you keep my saying, you will be able to live and never see death. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. He just told you, immortality is available. That's what he said. If you keep my saying, you shall never see death. They say, who maketh thou thyself? Abraham is dead. All the prophets are dead. Who are you saying? They keep your saying, they will never see death. He has brought immortality to light. He simply said, it is possible. He was the one that took Enoch away. He was the one that took Elijah away. And he said, if you keep my saying, I can do the same thing for you. Before the end, we are talking about is the book of Revelation, where he said, I will make all things new. That's the finality of it all. He will make all things new. But even right now, He can begin to make you enjoy it if you will keep His saying. I'll wrap it up. Revelation chapter 21, verse 5 again, as we wrap it up. Revelation chapter 21, verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Praise the Lord. Shall we stand up to our feet? Stand up to your feet. And just thank Him. Thank Him. If you believe all these things, that Jesus Christ actually is our Redeemer, thank Him. You should be grateful to Him. Just praise Him now. Praise Him. Talk to Him in your own words. Say, thank you, Father, that you made me to understand this thing, that I am a partaker of this inheritance of the saints. This is not something that, wishful thinking. No, this is not wishful thinking. This is true, that this planet, soon and very soon, there will be no more sickness, no more death. Sin shall be dealt away with. Satan shall be locked up in the lake of fire forever. It is already said. Revelation chapter 20 said that dragon will be locked up forever. We look at the end of the book. It is written, the saints overcame the dragon by the blood of the Lamb, because Christ has already been crucified for us. By the word of our testimony, because we believe it and we are confessing it. And we love not our life unto the dead, because we know who has already abolished death. Believe it. Thank Him for it. Thank Him for it. And if you are here with us today, you actually have not really been born again. Like we said, He started by removing sin, the sinful nature from you. You have not really been born again. You have not experienced that new birth that He said. Anyone that is in Christ become a new creature. All things are done with. And behold, I make all things new. I want you to come forward. Let me pray with you. Say, I want to give my life to Jesus today. If you have not done that yet, you have not been born again. So that He can give you that earnest deposit. Like we said, you sign a contract, you say, I'm interested in this. Sign the contract. And Christ said He wanted to give you the deposit of the faith. If you have not been born again, you have not given your life to Christ, I want you to raise up your hand, let me pray with you. And I want you to actually step forward so that we can pray along with you. Because don't be ashamed of Him. We all did one day, because we know that we want to be a partaker of this kingdom that is to come. And He wants you to be a partaker of that kingdom. You want to pray with you, just come forward, let me pray along with you. The Lord Jesus Christ loves you. He has already made the sacrifice. He said, if you believe that I am He, then you have that life. If you don't believe, He said, you will not be able to. He said, you will die in your sin if you don't believe that I am He. And He also said, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. If you don't eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink it, but He said, you have no life in you. This life we are talking about, this immortality, it is by partaking of that sacrifice. He has sent His Son to die for us. And that sacrifice has been done. But you have to partake of it. In the Yoruba land, I come from the towns. I didn't come from the cities. When they make a sacrifice for you to keep you alive, whatever it is, those voodoo people, they will have to make you eat it. You have to partake of it. If you don't eat of it, I said, I don't believe in it, then it's not for you. So Christ is saying, unless you eat His flesh and drink His blood, He said, you have no life. He is the life that's going to be in us. That is why He said we must partake of His sacrifice. So if you have not been born again, you need to ask Jesus to come and enter into you. Anybody need that prayer? Be in prayer, and everybody be in prayer. If you have not been born again, don't be ashamed. Just say, I need you, Lord Jesus. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to be a new creature in Christ. And if you want a rededication of your life to Him, because you have been going wayward, you want to rededicate your life, you also can come forward and I will pray with you. And if you want the Holy Spirit to come and give you that earnest deposit, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said He gave us that deposit in our spirit. The Holy Ghost He gave to us is like a deposit of that inheritance. So that you have a witness in you, that He put in you, that you are now a child of God. If you have not been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you want the Lord to touch you, you can also come forward and just do that along with it. While we pray, everybody pray. Pray. Just stay right there. Any other person? You want the Lord to touch you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. You just say, Lord, I want that earnest deposit that You promise, that You have given to all them that believe in You. And He will give it to you also. Because He said, ask and you shall receive. Just ask and you shall receive. And He loves the contrite spirit. A contrite spirit, people that are humble and say, Lord, I need this. I need you, Lord. I need you to come to me. Everybody has prayed. Pray. I'm waiting one more time. If you have, you want me to pray with you because you want that earnest deposit of the Holy Ghost. Because you have said, Lord, come into my heart. I need you. I want to be saved. I want to be born again. Now fill me with that Holy Spirit. Ask him in prayer. Everybody pray. You want the Holy Ghost? Or you want to give your heart to Christ?
Baptized. I don't baptize
yet. What about water baptism?
Yes.
You have not done that yet?
No.
Okay. You need to do that. You do that. You talk to the pastor to get you baptized. And you want to ask Jesus to come into your heart also?
Yes.
Have you done that yet?
Yes.
Okay, say it after me. Let's just make sure you do that. Say, Jesus.
Jesus.
I accept you. As my Lord and Savior. And I believe in you.
And I believe in you.
And I repent from all my sins.
And I repent from all my sins.
Come into my heart, Jesus.
Come into my heart, Jesus.
Fill me with yourself.
Fill me with yourself.
Wash me with your blood.
Wash me with your blood.
From now I belong to you, Jesus.
From now I belong to you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now fill me with the Holy Spirit, Jesus.
Fill me with your spirit.
And I will fulfill all righteousness.
And I will fulfill all righteousness.
I will go baptized in water.
I will go baptized.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for our brother. I thank you for Paul. He has said you need to baptize in water, so don't go. Arrange it and we will get him baptized in water. To the glory of your name. Blessed be the glory of the Lord forever. Be filled with the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've talked to Pastor Yato. He said he needed to be baptized in water. Praise the Lord. Because young people, many of us go to church. If you have not been baptized in water, you better say, hey, I want to get all things fulfilled. I need to be baptized in water. There's no water here, but they have one here, but I don't think we do that today. We arrange that for the pastor to find a time to get him baptized in water. It's because we have to fulfill all righteousness. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That will be the end of the sermon. Can the praise team come forward? You can sit down. The praise team come forward. And we're going to take the offering. Jesus is the light of the world. Amen.